podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Has it been a while since you flipped that thermostat from heat to cool? Turn to the experts at Griffith Energy Services before you do for an $88 AC start and check to make sure your AC is in tip-top shape. Griffith specializes in Carrier, but services all brands. Visit griffithenergyservices.com today. Your local Carrier expert. That's griffithenergyservices.com. License number MDHVACR01-2278.
Griffith Energy Services. Doggone dependable.
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Fatback 4. This is Gav, that is Shani, that is Grizz, that is Keith. Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 1, and Liverpool have won at Anfield. There you go. But it is 3 league wins in a row, just to let you know, in case anyone has forgotten. Tonight's show, we're going to be talking about the Aston Villa game. Obviously, we're going to have a look at the lineup. We're going to have a look at how dominant we are and got sucker punched. We're going to have a look at the spirit shown by the team to come back and win. We're going to have a look at our next 3 league games. And of course, we're going to have a look at Real Madrid. Before we do, I want to say that this show, of course, is brought to you by Manscaped. We're going to throw a little thing up on the screen there. Manscaped got both. They're still asking loads of people around the place, have you got bush? If you have, get rid of it, because apparently we're in spring and that's when stuff starts to grow and blossom, and you don't like that. A Manscaped, you have to get rid of it. But also
spring cleaning, isn't it? Spring cleaning,
exactly. It's spring cleaning. And as well as that, don't forget that Manscaped, use LFC DT at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. And look, there's loads more to Manscaped than just, you know, us having to laugh about what they do and what area you use it on and stuff like that. They do support cancer charities and stuff as well. So that, go on, Shani, go on.
Fairness, how can you be watching Augusta this weekend and not have a trim?
Exactly, because it's immaculate, isn't it, the place?
Isn't it? That's why it's just like Manscaped must have been going around there with their own lawnmowers just touching up the green and then.
Do you know when it cuts on Sky Sports and says brought to you by fucking whatever watch or whatever? Manscaped should have been all over, because they trimmed that place down. They keep talking about how long the roof is. It's only an inch and a quarter here and an inch and three quarters there. And I will say Augusta looks a bit patchier.
It looks like my gaff in Pakistan. It looks like my gaff in Pakistan. I've shown you pictures.
What does
Augusta? Do you
Augusta?
See the similarities? Augusta, oh yeah, my god.
Get the fucking boat. Are you serious?
How is that all over the place?
Oh my god, you haven't seen the pictures and now you lot are treating me like you've seen the pictures, sorry, and now you're treating me like this. So you come on live and
it's the bunkers everywhere and people pretend to be on the beach.
Off air, you're like, wow, that looks beautiful.
No, off air, I tell you, it's your dad's house, not yours.
And on live on air, you turn into all Bertie Big Bollocks, all of you.
No, I've always said it's your dad's house. Much like the same way you're insured on your dad's car. But you being coming on here, Billy Big Bollocks, pretending that that house is actually yours when it's not, it's actually an awful disgrace to your father and all the hard work he put into it. What I would say is that Augusta looks a little bit patchier than it has over the past couple of years. It doesn't look as green, it doesn't look as glorious, but having said that, he did have the major played on it not 4 or 5 months ago, and a lot of work goes in between when the end this one and the next one, there's a lot of work that goes into it to grow it properly, apparently. We're just talking about grass now and the colour of it, yeah, and stuff like that. But
variety, that's what we're all about.
Yeah, variety, it's the spice of life.
You should try some as well in your fucking cuisine. Union mash and potato every day of the week.
No.
You know, it's the irony, Keith, in variety of spice of life. And the man refuses to try anything else apart from potato.
The only spice he uses is butter.
Unbelievable. And that's fact.
Right, can I tell you something? Before we go into the football, which is not as important as what's going on here, but can I tell you something, what happened to me the other day? I was talking to Col, who's a mutual friend of ours. He's a mutual friend of me, Keith, and Shawnee. Him and Grizz don't get on very well. But me and Shawnee were playing Warzone, and what happened was, Shawnee in Warzone in Verdansk ended up beside a vending machine and offered me a packet of crisps from said vending machine while during the game, right? We were having the crack, and I said to Col, have you ever tried spice burgers on an omelette, right? And he said no. Now, for anyone that's living in Ireland, you know exactly what a spice burger is. Grizz probably doesn't, and anyone in America most definitely doesn't, but look them up, Walsh's spice burgers. But I suggested to Col that he puts 3 eggs in a cup, mixes them up, throws them on the pan like any normal omelette, drops some cheese on it, and then gets an uncooked spice burger and just breaks it into bits in the omelette, puts the top on the frying pan and leaves it there for a good 3 or 4 minutes, and it's outstanding. So there's the tip for tonight. We've had golf, we've had spice burgers, and Grizz is still claiming that gaff is his when it's not, it's his dad's, and he's insured on his dad's car. Let's go. Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 1, and the lineup, lads, because Grizz, when doing the agenda earlier, said, look, when you look at the lineup, no Thiago. He doesn't play Thiago. He doesn't play Keita after taking him off the other night. Firmino comes in, Mane is left out, and that was something that a lot of people have been calling for. But Grizz, because you've brought this up in the agenda, what did you make of the lineup? Because a lot of people as well said, look, Milner's in there for a bit of bite and stuff like that. Were you happy with it? Or was it one of those where you thought, oh, it feels a bit full on this?
It wasn't quite Fulham levels, of course not. That the team he put out was sort of, you know, strong as it gets, or, you know, bar one or two positions. The obvious ones we know. I think most people expected Mane. If I'm fair, I think all four of us expected Mane to have a rest. I did as well. So that wasn't too much of a surprise. Obviously, Bobby coming in made all the sense in that. Do you know what it is? When I see the lineups these days, right, I want to moan about it. I want to moan about them because in my opinion, he's made a few cock-ups this year. But then I just bite my lip and I shut up and wait for the result afterwards instead of looking like a dickhead. You know, so honestly, Keith, because I want to, when I see the lineups, I think to myself, oh, he's not rested Robbo needs he's playing Ginny again. He's brought in Milner, Ginny, and that's Fabinho. That's probably our slowest midfield. Where's the creativity going to come from? So all these things took place in my head, all these thought patterns, but I kept quiet because I thought, you know, this is a mad season and shit happens when you least expect it, both ways, good and bad. And lo and behold, we probably played our best 45 minutes at home in a little while, I thought. It all made sense. I think Milner's inclusion was for more of a mentality point of view. Like, we needed someone to just keep the spirits high, even if we did go behind, which we did. And so, you know, you need someone like Milner or Henderson or Robertson. Robertson's a bit gone quiet because he's worried about his own form, fatigue, etc. No Hendo. So Milner was an obvious choice, especially as he was captain as well. So it all ended well.
It did. Dinesh has a super chat. He says, do we think Liverpool will get top four? I think if Liverpool win 6 of the 7, we qualify. Other teams play against each other and will drop points. Dinesh, I've read that out, but I've made a note of it for the end because that's one of the final questions I'm going to ask the lads. Shawnee, I'm going to come to you next. When I see Milner, I did think, I'm being honest, I thought he's looking forward to Wednesday a little bit here. That's what I thought. But it suited us because Milner needed to go in there and a little bit of bite in the midfield, a bit of, you know, we always talk about how Milner has certain standards, walk, 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 and maybe he wanted that around him. But were you surprised by Milner? And the second question I wanted to ask you was Firmino for Mane, all good with that?
Yeah, I think Mane just needs a breather, to be honest with you. I think we can all agree. Just hasn't looked himself at all in recent weeks. In terms of Milner, I get where the reservations might be, but then I look back to the West Ham game away and the Spurs game away. Milner plays both of those games, and Milner has done something that not many of our midfielders have actually done this season, bar Curtis when involved, is that Milner has been one of the midfielders who's been more progressive and making runs into the box, yeah, and giving the opposition team something to think about. And he's been doing that quite a lot, and he's one of the only ones doing it. So when I seen him in here, I obviously thought, yeah, to be fair, when I looked at that team, then Jesus, you probably could have went with that team on Tuesday, and it might have given us a bit of a different outlook. But that's hindsight, being 2020 and all that. But no real issue with Mane being left out, because I don't think his performance is warranted. I think Graves asked the question the other night when he came on and said, like, has Mane done enough to actually be in the 11? There's probably the one that have to be the one to drop out. And I was thinking, yeah, it's not quite Fulham. It's sort of one eye on Wednesday, but enough to do to get the job done. And to be honest with you, we started the game very well. I thought the first half we were very good. I don't think the personnel caused us any sort of systematic issues. To be honest, I didn't look at anyone in the first half the way I did Keita last Tuesday, thinking, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is he doing there? Everybody seemed to be performing to a level, especially in the first half, where I thought we were actually good. We are creating chances. There were shots on target at Anfield, and we actually looked like scoring at Anfield in a league game for the first time in a while.
Yeah, and Keith, you know, like, we'll get on to it, kind of, because I thought we did kind of dominate the majority of the game. But like, when you look at that side and you look what's going on against Villa, we know what's happened against Villa in the past. We've spoken a couple of times about changing it up, put the four of them on the pitch to do something different. He just went with the same again, didn't he, Keith? And did it kind of show that, like, if he just makes a couple of changes here, that, like, the Mane change could have had a big effect on the rest of them, because there's a bit more energy there, and Firmino maybe links better with Jota and stuff like that. Was it just a case of same again, different kind of players, Milner in there, Firmino back, Mane gets arrested? It was just maybe an unintentional kind of burst of energy that we got, because I think that's what's killing us most. I think it's the lack of energy we have is what's killing us, but we looked okay.
Yeah, we did. And something that we've said for a long time since we sort of hit the slump was he needs to change. He needs to do a different formation. And he's not. He's going with the same. He's going with his sort of, you know, 4-3-3. He's going with the lads that he wants in there, that he trusts. And we all agree Mane hasn't been at the races at all. Looks like he's been trying, but he just probably needs a rest. You know, if it was a normal times, you could probably, you know, give him a little break, but needs most at the moment. But I thought Jota looked lively on that left-hand side. I thought we started the game actually in a diamond with Bobby playing a bit deeper and Jota closer than Salah and up top. But then after a few minutes, it sort of shaped into the 4-3-3 that I expected it to be. But I think, yeah, energy is the big thing. And Milner, we all know he doesn't have the legs anymore. Well, he's still fit enough, but he doesn't have, you know, what he's renowned for is the engine, you know, the Duracell bunny or whatever. He keeps going. But what he does give you as well is leadership and a vocal sort of, you know, he was in there to ball players out as well if they weren't doing what they were told. Because I think the problem with the Real Madrid game was that no one in the midfield took responsibility. Nobody took the initiative to pull Keita. Now, whether Keita, we have our opinions on Keita, but whether someone should have been there to bollock him on the pitch and tell him to do his job, maybe that's what Milner's in there for then, you know, to sort of give them a bit of a bleeding, a rocket when they needed it. No problem with that. I think he gives you that energy as well. And Bobby, Shawnee has said this on many a time, that you don't mind Bobby not scoring if he's doing the rest of the stuff well. And he hadn't been. But yesterday he was, and he was getting about it, and he was sort of putting the pressure on. I think he has in his last few games, to be honest. Yeah, I think he's been getting back to that sort of level. And I think it showed, as you say, once we start putting a bit of pressure, once we started using a bit of energy, it really showed, and it was a good first half. We didn't, the only criticism is we didn't work Martinez enough, but we did look more threatening than we had.
Gav, just coming back to Milner, I think Milner, when you look at their midfield, it's McGinn and Douglas Luiz and who else?
Nakamba.
Marvellous Nakamba.
That's a combative midfield who are all well able to use the ball. So that's exactly what you had Milner in there, to be combative. And that's what Milner will do for you. He will set the tone. Like the first challenge will be a hard one. Like, you know what I mean? 10 minutes in, he's going to leave you on. And McGinn never really got in the game in the first half. And the one time he did, he creates the goal. So I think Milner, when you look even beforehand, it was definitely the type of one you needed in there, because we didn't need Jones in there, all that we was injured, and Keita not combative enough. I know he wins the ball high in the press, but you need someone in there fucking sticking a foot in and making
physicality,
especially against Villa, because what they did was in Villa Park is they actually bullied us. They bullied us in Villa Park in the middle of the pitch, and we couldn't allow that to happen. And we got skilled on Tuesday night. And we couldn't afford to be skilled and then fucking bullied. So Milner was the paper, and he was putting it about in there, and that's what he does.
I enjoyed his performance,
Oh, so did I. Milner's a bit of a throwback, and you need one in your team. You don't win anything without a Milner on your team.
And he was on the ref as well a fair bit, which we don't do enough.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
But do you know, talking about the midfielders and Keith, you mentioned in terms of no one taking a grip of things or direction in against Madrid as well. That is one criticism I have of Fabinho. He's one of the senior players now in that midfield, or at the back when he plays there. And I just think we could all go on about Gini, but Gini's going, so there's no point talking about him now in terms of him raising his game, not only on the pitch, sort of not only by playing, but sort of by organizing as well, like a Henderson, because you know when Henderson's not there, no Virgil van Dijk, we need the likes of Fabinho to be more vocal, in my opinion, especially when he's surrounded by less experienced players, younger players, you know, especially the centre-backs, you know, even Trent, you know, Fabinho's far more experienced than Trent, we forget that. That is one slight criticism I've got Fabinho that I'm personally looking to see if he improves on. I think he did at the start of the season, I think he's gone a bit quiet again. Don't know what you guys think.
Ramiz Khalil says he believes the fight shown by the lads is the biggest positive of the game. And Ramiz, that's the next piece that we're going to speak about. How do you think we should line up against Madrid? That's going to come later. But also, where's Curtis? A slight muscle strain, I think, is what's going on with Curtis. I did think that, and then I think a couple of people have confirmed that in the chat. Motti from Norway, Grizz's best mate, says, Grizz, Norway wants to know if Konate's injuries are worse. I'm reading that out, but we will talk about Konate very briefly at the end. I want to move on though. Just on Milner, I think it was needs must, definitely. I agree with Shawnee 100%. That's a physical Villa midfield that will work hard at the same time. You know.
Hey, don't forget the Johnsons are coming over. I want to find a rosé Jill hasn't tried yet.
Let's go exploring at Total Wine. Their prices are ridiculously low.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, always low prices. Total Wine and More.
I don't see them as the most creative. I think McGinn is very direct in what he does, and he's good on the ball, he protects it. The other two, for me, walk hard, get around people and get it to, usually it's the Grealish, but I know he's not there, but it is a very physical and kind of powerful midfield, and I think it was needs must to have Milner in there. But I think it was also a look forward to the week, during the week, because I think you will see, you know, you'll definitely see Fabinho. I definitely think you'll see Thiago and Wijnaldum play on Wednesday night. But I think it worked out on you know, two levels, I think, with regards to Milner. But look, lads, and Shawnee, I'll come to you. We haven't been playing well, especially at home. Our record at home, like after being magnificent up until whenever we lost to Burnley, has been atrocious ever since. You know, we're getting knocked 1-0 here and 1-0 there, and it was just not happening for us whatsoever. But this game, I thought we were dominating. You know, I want to stay away from the whole VAR thing tonight. That's okay, because what's the point anymore?
Exactly.
But we're dominating it, and then the sucker punch, and I think it's a poor goal to concede on a number of levels, Shawnee. The goalkeeper's not great, but overall I thought it was a poor goal to concede. And when that goes in, do you think, Shawnee, oh, here we go again. This is just another, this is going to be another fucking 50 minutes of us half-arse banging at a door and we lose 1-0 and away we go again.
Yeah, it's mad because when you look at the Leipzig game and the Arsenal game, everyone had the same, Jesus, we're playing well here, but we just can't put it in the net. We're a model for a sucker punch. And I never quite game in either of those games, neither home or away against Leipzig. Even Spurs, you can go back that far. That's kind of been a facet of our game where we dominate, but not really walk their keeper. And that was the same. And then I don't know what happened. The Konsa wins a 50-50. Ball takes a bounce. Kabak does well initially, but doesn't get in behind quick enough. And then ultimately, Alisson doesn't do enough. I think he's very poor for the goal. So a number of mistakes, you get punished. And we're 1-0 down. And you've seen we won't talk about the offside or anything, because there's literally no point anymore. You just go back to any other pod that we've done for the last 6 to 8 months. And
yeah, I think today's stuff compounded it as well when you see an
Inter. Yeah, 100%. It's a waste. It's a complete waste of breath even getting into about these officials. And you've seen the body language of the players going off the pitch at half time. And I was kind of like, bollocks. Like, that's the season. Our season is gone. They look drained. And I thought we played well in the first half. I really did. I thought we were unlucky. I thought we woke them. But we just got caught. We got caught. Caught in the hop by Hughes. A very, very good player, I will say. Ollie Watkins. I think he's an excellent striker. I think he's done very well since coming up to the Premier League. And then you're on the wrong end of a VAR refereeing decision again. So you're just kind of thinking, like, fucking, like that song, why does it always rain on me?
Heads dropping.
Yeah, heads dropping, and look, completely and utterly understandable. Like, understandable. You can just, nothing has gone our way this season. Really hasn't. And we come out then, and I was thinking, we'd be lucky to turn this around, because Villa are very, very good defensively. They've been very solid defensively this year. Whatever you say about Mings, I think Konsa has been one of the standout performers. And I actually think that if there's a team of the year going around, I think Martinez will probably be the goalkeeper of the year. I think he's been one of their players of the season. But obviously, we get there in the end to 2-1, but I can't remember a worst second half performance at Anfield.
It's a funny thing, isn't it?
From Liverpool. Honestly, I don't want to sound like a fucking negative Nelly, but it was awful. They weren't even pressing us. The possession, we were so sloppy the amount of times we passed the ball out of play. I don't know whether it was got to do with fatigue or whatever it was, but it was just awful. And it's players you expect to be able to do the 5 and 10 yard passes. It just wasn't happening. And then Mane comes on and you're just thinking, holy Jesus, what is going on here? Like, but we get the result. And I don't know. Grizz said yesterday in the WhatsApp, it's huge. It is huge. And I'm interested to see how the team reacts now to see that they've actually been able to dig one out. Dig one out and come from behind and get 3 points. A massive 3 points, because I said it yesterday when we were watching the game. When you kind of, we're in a situation now where performances don't matter. It's the business end of the season. It's all about results. And I looked at today's fixtures thinking, West Ham play Leicester, you know, play Spurs. We need to be putting 3 points on the board today if you have any hope of getting back into the top four. And I was thinking, if we drop points here, we're absolutely fucking busted. You may as well come back in August. I'll see you in September, even whenever. July, fucking Europa League qualifiers, whenever they start. But we dig in and we get the results. So no doubt the performances need to improve. But when you look, 3 league wins on the belt for the first time since August is a good sign. And it would show that we're picking up points in the business end when we definitely need to be picking them up.
It's interesting, Keith, to come to you first, like, because the sucker punch happens, as we call it. And, you know, I like Watkins. I like him a lot. I don't know if Villa play to his strengths all the time, but I really like him. I like his runs, I like his movement. I think he's a good finisher. But for me, there's a couple of issues in it. Allison gets down, but I don't know what he's getting down to. It's like he's diving past the ball and it hits him in the elbow and goes underneath him. But I want to, forgetting the goal for a second, Shani talks about something there. The body language coming off at half time and then the second half performance, right? And I'm going to just go up until we score, right? And what I mean by it is they're coming off at half time, Keith, and then you see the start of the second half. And it's like Shani says, they're knocking the ball out of play. Is it a case of them defeats in the past completely in their head because they've come under loads of criticism for being sucker punched and then hitting the ball out wide and launching her into the box? And was the confidence, obviously they didn't want to go down that route, and was the confidence gone a little bit for you, Keith, where they go, well, what else do we try here, because we've done this fucking so many times at Anfield and it hasn't worked?
Yeah, it's down to confidence, you know, and it, we think players shouldn't have, you know, they should be able to hit 60-yard balls. Trent should be able to switch it to the other side, to Robbo's run at a whim. Do you know what I mean? Whenever he wants. But confidence does seep in to the psyche when you're winning, and we're winning at home, and we're going 60-odd games winning at Anfield, and you knew we can get through. Even if we're playing poor, we'll get the result. And the same thing happens when you're losing, right? The same thing happens. It's the exact same process. You're not getting the decisions that you feel you should get. Whether you know, you're going about the VAR stuff or anything like that. But the players are still human at the end of the day, and they're still thinking, this is six home games. Was it six home games in a row that we hadn't got a sniff in? It's following the exact same pattern. The confidence is going to be here, and you can see it with Trent hitting 5-yard balls down the line, and they're just going out of play. They're not going where they should be going. Do you know what I mean? There's other players that are doing it, and it just looked like it was going to turn into one of them days. And then we get the goal quite quickly in the second half, and didn't look like we were going to push on. And that was another frustration. Obviously, the game goes on and goes on. There's just something about Liverpool at the moment that the lads have said it. It was said in the chat there. It's all about getting the points on the board at this stage. The performances don't matter, but they should matter a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Because if you can put in a decent performance, it'll give you that bit of confidence going into the next game. So, you know, we get the 3 points, but there's a lot of questions still about the second half. Certainly, I thought they were bleeding atrocious, to be honest.
But Grizz, I don't think it's a huge shout to say that we weren't good in the second half. But we win the game. You know, we win the game. And before we get on to the goals and that, Grizz, that's the difference for me. You know, like we could have come off that pitch with a 1-0 defeat gone. We were fucking desperate and we lost the game and we'd all be having a breakdown, right? But we come off that after winning the game and it's like something has changed there. Because I don't think Villa were bad. I think they came with a game plan. I think they've probably looked at the likes of Brighton, Burnley, Fulham, whoever else has come in one on Anfield, especially those little teams, and thought, well, 1-0 up, we've seen what's happened, we'll sit back, and they took we'll take our chances, see how it goes. But Grizz, we come off that pitch with a 2-1 win. So something is there in the players. You know what I mean? And I think they deserve credit for that.
I'm slightly different from you lads, man. I think you know, the reason why I said in the group, in the WhatsApp group, that I felt a massive difference in the effort, the mentality. I think we've realized the fact that every game left is a win or bust situation. And we treated it like a cup tie. That wasn't like a league game. Previous six league games at home where other teams have taken the lead or we've been frustrated. We don't look like, there's been accusations of, we don't even look up for it, putting all the eggs in one basket. You know, a lot of people are saying, we're just going for the Champions League, win the fucking Champions League and fuck the season off. But slowly but surely, the results around us and everything, and especially the last two wins, I've seen a difference in mentality for sure. Glimpses of last season's mentality. Yes, the quality, the efficiency is not there yet. We know this.
You're saying about the and I'm sorry to cut across you, but you're saying about the results around us and stuff like that. Do you think, right, that in all honesty, Liverpool players are looking at each other going, listen, we've been shit, lads. It's been well below our level. But I look today, there's one team in this division that's averaging over 2 points a game. One. Right? Our Liverpool grids looking around going, lads, we're awful. There's players out missing. We're off form. We haven't got the fucking energy. It's all going wrong for us. Well, we're looking around as we're 3 points off toward, 4 points off toward. Mm-hmm. Is there something in that grids where they're looking going, it hasn't been good enough, but look at this league. Because this league is fucking awful this year. Let's be honest.
Pony.
It's not even a doubt. It's absolutely fact. And I tell you why it's fact. Because Jurgen Klopp kind of intimated it. He said, we spoke about it at halftime. We said, lads, we know it's the season from hell where everything's going against us, blah, 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 blah. But we keep going and we keep fighting. And that's exactly what they've done. I think we came out second half, attacking again, trying our best to force ourselves upon them, impose ourselves on them. I thought Ginny was awful. It didn't help. Some of the players were actually just off form. I think Milner kept driving. I thought Robbo's best game in ages. I thought he absolutely bullied someone bigger, stronger and faster than him in that Traore. I thought there were aspects of Trent absolutely played his heart out. Yes, the quality is still not 100% there, but he kept going. Go on.
Yeah. The second half, Trent is his worst performance.
Oh yeah, yeah. Quality wise,
what I will say is, and what we often forget, Trent's 21, 22 now. I think still relatively young. Normally, when young players are stinking the gaff out like that, what do? They hide.
They hide, mate. And this is what I was hiding.
And they get hooked, and the manager has to cover up for them. But 98 minute yesterday, Trent is fucking bursting his lungs.
Not even there, Shawnee. Even before that, he was trying. He was trying.
You've got to give that, and I know what Liverpool and we should hold ourselves to a higher standard, but Liverpool fans will always commend players for effort. We always will. That's one thing, and he's never lacked that. But his distribution was fucking abysmal yesterday. Yeah. I was losing me reason watching the game, saying, what the fuck is going on with the kid? And then he goes and does that.
Yeah.
So it's big for him. And I think I'd love to have another right back there to just take him out of the spotlight, because this is what Ferguson would do when the light was on someone like Rooney or a Beckham or whoever it might be. Just take them out, because it's all on him. They're all talking about him now. They're all over analyzing him. Should he be gone? Should he stay? He's a kid. He just needs to worry about his football and not all the shite outside. Again, though, results, that's all that matters.
I mean, look, last season, how many times did we pull out wins where we didn't deserve it? I think the first 45 minutes were good. Some may disagree. I thought at 1-1, we got confused. We didn't know. I think that's where we got a bit confused and started thinking, do we go full out for the win? Or do we, because as some people were saying, sometimes just take the point. If you know you're not playing good, just take the point. But when we're in a situation where I truly believe, lads, and I've said this, I truly believe the first loss and that's it, it's all over and done with. So we've literally got nothing to lose now. In every game, we've got to treat it like a cup final and go for wins. And that's what we done. I like the mentality from Salah yesterday, from Jota, from Milner, Robertson, to keep going. I saw lots of positives. Yes, the negatives are still there that we've talked about and discussed, but I thought there was a definite shift in mentality and positivity in that mentality, 100%.
Oh, Keith, you know, like, and Dinesh says there, do you think we would have a chance of signing Harry Kane? The amount of chance Liverpool create, our front three, Messi get 25 plus goals. Harry Kane isn't going to Liverpool. Not a fucking
no. Wouldn't want him.
That's 100 million plus transfer.
How old is he? 28? 27, 28?
It's somewhere around that, but that's Man City or Manchester United's business.
Manchester United.
Yeah, I think it is. but thanks for the super chat, Dinesh. Dinesh, I don't think it's one way Liverpool look at it whatsoever. I think if they were looking at Spurs, they...
Turn off your laptop. We're on staycation.
I'm on TotalWine.com. They have so many rosés, chardonnays, and proseccos. It feels like a real vacation.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
Might have a look at...
I can't think of a player at Klopp would not adhere themselves to less than fucking someone like a Harry Kane.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know.
You're dealing with Daniel Levy there, so you're talking the big books to get him. And anyway, and at that age, Liverpool were to break the bank and go over 100 million on a transfer, it's not going to be for a Harry Kane, it'll be for a Sancho.
I'm going to give another take, and I'm going to say that Harry Kane never plays for another club for the rest of his career because he's missed the boat.
Yeah.
He's missed the boat. Anyone with a brain and the money.
Just talk of wanting out with Spurs. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know whether it's just someone's decided that that's what's happening or whether, I don't know, is his agent saying something? I haven't heard anything. So it's a weird one, but Harry Kane won't be near Liverpool. City will try to get Harry Kane if they don't get Haaland. I think if I was to pick a club he will go to, if he is to leave Spurs, I think it's Manchester United written all over him, but that's.
I don't think City would go near him. I don't think City would go over 100 million for a player like that. Their wage, they don't sign to sort of top echelon. That highest transfer is Ruben Dias, isn't it? So, you know, I could see them doing it for a Haaland, but not for a Kane. I think they go big on it.
The thing is, if United were to sign Kane, then they'd literally be doing what they've done for the past 4 or 5 years is ignoring the actual issues in that team.
That's why I think it's for them.
I think he's gonna stay there. I think he missed the boat. I think Levy, if Levy could find a home from him, he probably would. And his injury record, his age, I don't know.
Yeah, apparently the Football Daily Con says apparently, he will hand in a transfer request if they don't make Champions League. So we'll have to wait and see. That it could be all pie in the sky stuff. We don't know. But Keith, I wanted to come to you. You know, we're talking there about, you know, Trent and others and their the way they're trying to get the ball around the pitch and distribution and stuff like that. And a change of mentality because we do come out of it on the right end of the result. But how big is the Mo Salah goal? Because he gets that in the 54th minute, I think, or 56, whatever, it's somewhere around
57.
There. 57. So 10, 12 minutes into the second half. How big is that? Because I think if that goes 60, 65, and then you're looking at, this is just deja vu. How big is it? Because I think part of the whole thing about the distribution and being a bit slack with stuff is literally them reliving 5, 6, 7, whatever amount of defeats. It's a huge goal, isn't it? And it's him again. He's always alive to everything.
It is a huge goal, and to come so early in the second half, as we touched on there, you go in at half time feeling sorry for yourself with another goal chalked off. The longer that goes on, the same shite comes in and seeps into the mentality. It's another day that we're getting all the ball, having chances, but we're not walking the goalkeeper. And then Robbo walks the goalkeeper. And it just falls. We got a bit of criticism, Martinez, for not getting the ball out into a safer position. I don't know what they expect him to maybe do with that. It's a good shot and he just pushes it out. But Mo was there. I'd on the pod after the game yesterday, me, Paul, Peter's kids, and we spoke about Mo Salah and the amount of goals that he gets and the criticism that he gets with the goals. You know, I'd be the first one to say, I don't think his performances are ever great. He's not the type of, to me, I'll speak for myself, he's not the type of forward that I think strikes fear into defenders, right? And that might sound silly, but the goals, the numbers that he gets because he's always in that right place, like that was a good poacher's goal yesterday. He's a winger, right? He's not a centre forward, he's a winger, and he's attacking that, looking for the scraps. I think it's a great goal for Mo Salah. I think it's what we needed.
It's the kind of goal he scored in this first season.
Yeah.
He scored so many goals like that where he's
attacking, he's getting in and he's hitting.
He showed, that's the first time he showed in that his first season that he could actually play as a number nine. Obviously, we didn't play much through the middle, but the way he knows where the ball's going to matter, the instinct of an absolute number nine. He scored so many in that first season, not so many since in the second season. But in his first season, he scored a lot like that.
But it's getting into them positions and it's making sure that you're there. There's no other. Maybe Jota has probably got a bit of that in him.
Yeah.
Mane doesn't and Bobby doesn't. And it's nice to see Mo doing that because it's a different type of goal. You know, he scores a lot of different type of goals. He always tries to cut in on the left peg to hit it into the far corner. He doesn't actually pull many of them off. But his variety of goals, he's there for the tap-ins. He's getting the headers. You know, he does do a lot of the right stuff. But getting the goal at that time gives us that sort of, right, shake off the disallowed one. It's 1-1. We're in this game. Let's push on and let's put the foot on the throat and force this win, which we didn't do. You know, Villa have a chance, you know, opportunities after that. So it was a bit of a false dawn maybe to get the goal. What I was expecting, more pressure from Liverpool. That probably didn't, it didn't come. But, you know, we will talk about what happened at the end in a minute.
Yeah, Grizz, like, not, it gets us level. Like, and that's great because, but it's the significance of it because many times we go 1-0 down at Anfield and we just finishes 1-0. How many times in our WhatsApp group have we seen a team go up 1-0 on 65 and go, this is over. This isn't happening. We're just doing the same thing over and over again and we're getting the same result. We're not scoring the goal. How significant was it? Not only to equalise, but a little bit of a monkey off the back of his start where we've actually equalised. You know, we're not going to go down 1-0 at home like so many games before.
Doesn't matter sort of what's gone in the past. When you get on a run like we have, whether it's a winning run of like 7-8 in a row, breeds confidence, breeds ideas, breeds energy. It's the total opposite when you're on the back of 60 defeats in a row. All of those things are taken away from your game. And we all know confidence and the fear factor is so crucial in a footballer's game. What that goal does is gives us belief because, Gav, we scored. We finally scored at Anfield. And regardless of the champions that they are, they would have been feeling it. And, you know, it changed the mentality. It gives you a new lease of life. Automatically, it does. I also need to give, or I don't know, you've probably all given credit. You've got to give credit to Villa in that situation, because when they equalize, what usually happens is the opposing team comes to Anfield, gets a goal against them, like to draw level, Liverpool gets a goal, and they resort to total blanket defense and go back in their shell. Villa didn't do that. No. Villa thought to themselves, hold on, we've beaten you 7-2 before. We can still pick you off. You've still not got Virgil van Dijk and et cetera, centre back. You've still got a bit of a scratch midfield, no Henderson there either. They carried on trying to attack us and, you know, a couple of times nearly got in, you know, the post was crucial, you know. So therefore that kind of started a bit, us a bit. We thought we're just going to be camped in their half trying to break down a blanket defense. I don't know if you want to go into Jurgen Klopp's substitutions. They didn't seem to help either, but I think overall, with the goal, it gave us huge boost in confidence. I just think for the next remaining, 25, 20 minutes, I thought again we went into that scrambled thinking, including Jurgen Klopp and his substitutes.
Yeah, I understand Villa not going into that shell because they would still look at Liverpool's frailties, and especially at Anfield, if another team gets ahead again, do they have it to come back? And not ability-wise, I think it's just, oh, for fuck's sake, we're behind again. You know, and I think it was a big thing for us to equalise there yesterday. And it sounds ridiculous as Liverpool at home against Aston Villa. I think it was a huge thing. I think you've easily could have looked at that game and if you would have told me before Salah scores, we lose this 1-0, I would have believed you. I would have believed you genuinely. I would have said there's absolutely every chance of that happening to lose 1-0 here because that's just the way it's gone for us. But look, we get the goal, and I want to skip ahead to the winner. We've talked about Trent. You know, it wasn't his best game, but he's, you know, it's the 94th minute, and he's inside left, and he's trying to cross it, and then he gets hold of it, and we've seen so many angles of it. And, Sean, I'll come back to you. There's one angle I've seen today, and how he puts the ball where he puts the ball, I don't know. It's like, what Villa player stands still, it hits them. I don't know what way things move and so quick, but it would have been easy, Shawnee, for him to lay that off. It would have been easy for him to look to lay that off or play a pass, but he doesn't. No toss, Shawnee, just out of his feet, and I'm whipping that towards the bottom corner. And thanks be to fuck, Shawnee, it went in.
Yeah, you can see he sees the picture before, and that's what great players do. Yeah. That's Alonso, Scholes, anyone with that sort of vision and technique, they know exactly what they have to do. Tom Huddleston was great at it. He made a living out of doing it. But when you see it from that angle, you're thinking, Jesus Christ, if you're picking a spot the ball, they're saying it's going up into the block 305 in the cup. So it's just well hit. It reminds me of Gerrard's against Middlesbrough, another late winner. Very, very similar position.
Yeah, similar area, yeah.
Similar technique. And it's mad. If you want the ball falling to one of the players, regardless of the 45 he had just had previous, it's probably him. And it was great. The celebration, it was more of a relief than anything. And you could see the likes of Jota and around them, how much it meant, and to dig out in a last-minute winner. It's just, it's absolutely shy, Gav, because imagine there had been 55,000, 60,000 with a full cup there for that. The place would have exploded. And between VAR and that, we're just being robbed of these moments. But an absolutely unbelievable goal. To find himself in that position because of his own bravery carrying the ball through midfield.
Shawnee, not only that, Shawnee, he intercepts the first pass.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
People talk about his defensive now, so not reading danger enough. He intercepts the pass and then goes on that. Yeah.
And another clinical part of it was the lovely bit of interplay between Shaqiri and Thiago. I thought Shaqiri actually gave us something when he came on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sean, he's at the, just freezing a little bit there. Ramirez says Salah leads the Premier League in goals scored, big goals scored, big goal involvement, and only Kevin De Bruyne has created more chances. 28 goals, 6 assists, involved in 43% of all LFC goals. That's a really, really, I like that. I like that a lot, Ramirez. Thanks.
It's the usual, isn't it? You know, such and such is the best goal scorer in the Premier League after Mo Salah. Mo Salah. Everything is, you know, after Mo Salah is just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot of after Mo Salah, isn't there? When you're talking about stats, but Ramirez with that stat is that's really impressive, I have to say. Lads, look, we hold out, we get the win. It's a big 3 points, and you know what? I wanted to have a look at our next three league games because that's three league wins on the bounce. You look at Leicester being beaten away at West Ham today. Spurs, of course, are beaten at home by Manchester United. And there's plenty going on. You know, Everton have two games in hand, I think. But as you look at it now, I think Liverpool are 4 points off Leicester in third place. You know, they're 2 points off Chelsea. They are, I think they might be 3 points off West
Ham.
West Ham, just from memory. And Spurs are just behind us. Everton, of course, have taken game. I think Everton are 5 points behind us, but they've two games in hand. And Everton have hard enough run in, I think. But looking at our next three, and we keep talking about this, and Shawnee, I'll come back. Grizz, I'll come to you. When you look at these, the next three, so it's Leeds away, Newcastle home, Manchester United away, that would bring us down to a run in of 6 games then, wouldn't it? I think five or six.
Five games, sorry.
There's 8 games left at the moment, isn't there?
Seven.
No, there's 8 left, is there? We've 8 games left in the league, no?
Seven.
The maths is as bad as Grizz's here. But we've them three, and I think, you know, Grizz, we've been saying, you know, the next time we lose one. Because if we were to lose to Leeds away and say West Ham win and Chelsea win, you're looking at 6 points, 6 and 5 points, and what, 6 games to go. It's hard to turn around. Grizz, we need to win these three. I'm going to put it out there. I think we need to win these three games to give us any chance going into the final four, because I think there is hard run-ins for others, but I don't see two or three of them getting out of our way. I really don't.
Yeah, it's literally, I think it's 5 teams going for 2 places now. That's the way I look at it. And for me, the position we're in, because we're chasing, I agree with you. I literally think, you know, there's not even space for draws, guys. At this stage, a draw is as bad as a defeat, in my opinion. And everyone's talking about other teams having awkward fixtures. Well, those three that you've just read out to me, Gav.
Yeah.
Leeds, I don't think I've got much to play for. They're safe.
Yeah, but that's when.
I was just going to say, but that's Leeds at their best. You know, Leeds, giving Leeds the sort of platform freedom to go out there, freedom to go and do what you do. I think Leeds have been an absolute delight, brilliant addition to the Premier League. I think they've been sort of, some of the pundits tried to cancel them early in the season and they've looked like stupid idiots now. And they tried to sort of suggest Bielsa, blah, 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 blah. But look at them now. So, you know, I told you guys, I don't think we go to Leeds and win. But, you know, I'll put my neck on the line and hopefully we do. And again, that's another one of those fuck-ups from me. But Leeds away is a terrible fixture at the moment. They're playing some fantastic football. Horrid. They gave City a horrid time with 10 men. And then look, Newcastle at home, you bloody expect to win, but they're fighting. You know, they've given themselves, a little gap. They won't want to relinquish that little gap they've got. So, and then, you know, our arch enemy, nemesis away from home, Old Trafford, we very rarely win there in the league. Our next three fixtures are make or break, but I wouldn't even look at the next three. I just, as we've discussed before, just look at the next one. Try to win every game, and as soon as we don't, then we'll take it from there compared to, and look at the other results and we take it from there. But in my opinion, the first time we lose a game, good night, Vienna.
Mm. Shani, what's the minimum we need from these three games to stay in it and have a chance with four to go, sorry?
I think five wins.
Five wins from the last seven.
Yeah, because we're basing this on a season where everything is normal, but it's been anything but. Like, if you look at now, whoever puts together a run will get top four. Leicester, I said in the WhatsApp group after Sheffield United, I think they struggle to win many games between now and the end of the season. And I do maintain that today they tried to pull themselves in. There's two spots now.
Yeah.
There's two spots now, right? So you're looking at us, Chelsea, Leicester, West Ham, and I'm not sure Spurs are really, I don't know. I'm not having them in anger.
What about Everton?
No. Everton are out. Honestly. And that's not being a Liverpool fan. I just don't think they will be. I think Borden and Hans
They will
need to win six of the next eight.
Yeah.
They play Brighton,
Spurs, Arsenal, Villa, West Ham, Sheffield United, Wolves and City. So they've
Everton have won six.
So let's say you're into yoga or Pilates, or maybe you dabble in gymnastics like me. Either way, you know being flexible is key to doing what you love. That's why Smoothie King created this stretch and flex smoothie for people like us. With whole fruits and organic veggies, plus type 2 collagen, make it part of your daily fitness routine to support flexibility and joint health. So try the Stretch and Flex smoothie in tart cherry or pineapple kale. Order online today for pickup or delivery. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Premier League games in a row since its inception, I don't think, to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
I think Grizz hit the nail on the head there. This is going to be a case of we're taking stock every single week, because next week, Chelsea play West Ham. So we're going to be going into Monday night. A win next Monday is fucking huge. I reckon if you win the next two, you can afford a draw in Old Trafford. That's how I feel, because I do think it's going to be that tight. But there's two spots up for grabs now. So we're not, what we now, we're 4 points off fourth.
We're 4 points off third.
Third, exactly. So there's two spots. West Ham, bit of a wild card, but I don't know. I don't see it. I can't see it. I think they will stumble. Now, it's hard. They've a lot of players playing in form, but they will feel that loss of Rice and they will feel the loss of Antonio. It will happen. It will happen. And they will wilt, because there's a lot of those players who just aren't used to this sort of pressure. So it's not entirely in their hands, but I believe out of all of those teams, based on the mentality of the team, the coach and the players we have available, if Salah keeps scoring, we can put together a run and sniff it out. It's mental, because I wrote her off after Fulham, but it's just there's been a couple of weekends where it feels like it's gone away. And
so
I think yesterday is huge. Yesterday is a moment. Mm. Yesterday is a moment in a story. And I think it's put us in it. 100% it's put us in it. You bet your bollocks. There was Leicester fans, West Ham fans, Chelsea fans, all watching that yesterday going, oh, for fuck's sake.
It's very, you know what, guys? You know, guys, it's very important. We're in the picture and we're in the minds of the other teams.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that we're Liverpool and people have seen and they know what we've done in the last 2-3 years. And they also know that we're capable of putting 8-9 wins in a row, unlike the others. They haven't got history of doing that. We have. And it automatically plays on their mind. You talked about West Ham, and yes, you're absolutely spot on. You see the nervousness in there. They were fucking 3-0 up and coasting at home last two games against Arsenal and today. Who are they playing today, man?
Leicester.
So we'll catch up on them.
Automatically, psychologically, when you hear the name, and it sounds cringe, but it's true. You know, whoever thinks it's cringe, fuck you. It's true. When you hear the name of Liverpool, when you hear the name of Liverpool, it's fucking back in it. Just when you think, we fucked them off, they're gone. You know, they're not competing for anything. They're down and out, injuries. They're in the Champions League. They're losing 3-1 in that. They're not going to be up for it. But then when you look at the table and you think, fucking hell, man, if we lose today, we get overtaken by Liverpool. How the hell are we going to get them back? Psychologically, it's massive that we're still in it. Not only for us, but in terms of other teams as well. And I definitely see a glint in our eye, lads. I know it was a shitty last 20 minutes on Saturday. And you know me, guys, I'm not always Mr. Positive, but I saw a glint in their eye back in some of those players, and the energy was back. The mentality was back. So fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
Look, I'm going to give Keith the last shout on this. Shane Down says, nice faction top, Sean. Great barbers, them. Are you advertising your barber, Sean?
No, he's actually one of my good friends. He owns the shop. So, I just... To be honest with you, I just threw it on. It's not a program.
Well, if I was you, I'd send him the invoice in the morning because he's got.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? If you could get Keith,
I was going to say, I thought you were coming to me about a barber question. I was going to just fucking turn this thing off and get out of here. So you joke me or what?
Stop.
We get Keith
down to do a video. In faction. Go on, Shani.
But just in case anyone from the relevant authorities is watching, the boys from Faction haven't cut me here in about 6 months. So, can't do anything for you.
But you're just drumming them up for when it reopens.
A few backstreet barbers going around. There is. I have a few names here. I won't say that.
All right. Good stuff. Liam says Leicester's last three games are Chelsea, United and Spurs. West Ham's fixtures are brilliant after Chelsea. Can't believe I'm saying this, but they are a worry.
Yeah, I said that to you guys. Their fixtures are the easiest out of all of them. I know we keep discounting West Ham, but the only thing West Ham haven't got is any experience of it. In terms of fixtures, on paper, they've got the easiest, but experience goes against them.
They don't want to see a Liverpool chasing. You know, they'd rather see a Liverpool falling and then them trying to get over Liverpool rather than the opposite way around.
But just think the fact now that it looks like there's two spots is huge. Because if it's one for five, if it's five for one spot, I think maybe Chelsea will outpoint us between now and the end of the season. I think Leicester might, they're in big shit. And they have, in the same way West Ham have no experience of a run-in.
Do you know what, Leicester, guys?
Of capitulation. Yeah. So.
They've got next two games very winnable. The reason why I say that is because they're home games, and I've brought in Vardy in my FPL just for the next two games. This will be huge after the next two games. We'll know. If they drop any points in the next two games, then they're gone. Because they're relying, absolute banking on their next two home games, which are very winnable, before that nasty running that you guys are referring to.
Well, it's a shootout. It's like it's like the college basketball. This is like March Madness. It's like it's just mental. Like anything can happen.
Just go for it.
So embrace it. Embrace it. This season looked like it was a fucking done for a long time, and we're in here. And do not underestimate this as an accomplishment if we get fought
by the skin of our teeth on the last day of the season.
What happened this year? Because it would be absolutely huge.
But I don't think you should underestimate how affected we've been throughout this season. Because if we get fourth, I'm at the telling you, there's one team in this division averaging over 2 points a game.
Exactly,
you know what I mean? So I think you'd have to look at it both ways. Yeah, it's a good accomplishment to get there. But but on the back of what we've seen happen to us, you know, and I think you have to take all that into perspective by the end of the season. Kieran Thorne says, with the fixtures that are left, top four is in our hands. We need to win. But if we win all the games, Leicester, Chelsea and West Ham have to play each other. Keith, we are 2 points off Chelsea. We're 4 points off Leicester. So let's take Chelsea as the nearest marker, because you always look to your next marker. Well, and we're at the talking about these three games, all right? So it's Leeds away, Newcastle home, Manchester United away. Where do we need to be in relation? We're 2 points off fourth. Where do we need to be in relation to fourth after those three games to give us a chance or put us, you know, really close to Champions League qualification with four to go, in your opinion?
Well, I think, and it could come back to bite me, but I think if we're in the top four after, before the Man United game, I think we're in the driving seat there and we're not going to let it go. And that might come back, people can clip that, that might come back and haunt. Come back and haunt me. But I think if we just get our shit together and get into that mix, it'll impact psychologically, not on Chelsea as such, but on Leicester and on West Ham. And I think, you know, if we can win the games, who have we got next? We've got Leeds and then Newcastle. If we win them two games, I think we're looking at a slugfest between us and Chelsea for third.
Okay, good stuff. I want to talk about a couple of things, right? I'm going back to a couple of bits that were mentioned earlier. So let's talk top four, right? Let's make some predictions as it stands now. We always do this every couple of weeks, but everything changes as we go. As Grizz would say, it's fluid. So Dinesh asked earlier, do you think we can get top four? Shawnee, name your top four at the end of the season as it stands now.
As it stands now?
Yeah.
You know, I hate predictions. You know, I hate predications.
Come on.
Right, so I'm going to go with my head then. On my heart. I'll go with my heart. So I'm saying.
he's already confused whether to go with his heart or his head.
United, Chelsea, us.
City United, Chelsea, us. Okay. Grizz.
City United, Chelsea, Leicester.
Okay. Fuck off.
Keith?
City United, Liverpool, Chelsea.
Okay. I'll take City United. City United, Liverpool, Leicester.
I don't know. But where is getting Leicester from, boys? Where are they going to win? Look at their pictures.
I don't know, but if you look around, you're like, we've talked about. I think they might just hang on because
how many points have they got?
They 56.
56.
So there's seven games left.
Yeah,
I'm just going to look at this real quick. I'm going to look at this real quick because I Grizz says if they don't win the next two, that I think they're bollocks. I think they needed to be West
what
Ham
I think
today.
Might go for them. What I think might go for them is if Chelsea put Porto away in that quarterfinal.
Right, so they, West Brom, Palace, Southampton away, Newcastle, United, Chelsea, Tottenham, right? Yeah.
So, it's just that last three, Shawnee. It's just that last three.
Okay, it's that last three. So they would need, so they're on what now?
56.
What are we saying gets top four? 71, 72?
Well, Liverpool are currently on 52 with seven to go. Is that right?
Yeah. So we can get 21 more points. We can get 73.
So I think you're looking at about 68, 69, does it?
They need to win the four of them games then.
But if you look at the games, they've an FA Cup semi-final in there, and their games are bunched as well.
Yeah, but that's presuming that all the other teams are going to win everything.
But Gav, there's five in it.
And you don't get anything from them last four games.
There's five in it. Someone's going on a run.
Yeah. I think Dan James says...
Chelsea, the ones that are going on a run. And
Barry says Barry says the 70 gets it. Dan J six says 68 gets it. I think around 68, 69 will definitely get you into top four.
So if 68 gets top four, we're in. I'm telling you.
Well, that means we'd need 16 points from our last seven.
Yeah. That's why I think five wins, two draws.
Yeah. Well, there you go, man. You know, you got 66 last season to get top four. It's interesting.
It's all predications. Look, man, it's all predications. Come on.
Olivier says Gav is trolling and backing Brendan. I don't back Brendan Rodgers. You know what I feel? My feelings on Brendan Rodgers. He shouldn't be at Leicester after what he done last season. But having said that, I think I agree. They're on a not a great run of form. They have hard games coming. They might be running out a bit of legs. I know there's problems around COVID fucking things with Madison and stuff going on, and one or two others. But I think what might help them is when you look, Liverpool's form is still very patchy. I think Chelsea may get distracted by that chance.
Chelsea will get the top four. Chelsea get the top four. I would have said West Ham, lads. Is Declan Rice out for the season, lads? Declan Rice, is he out for season?
Did I say any might make the last couple of games?
And Antonio as well. So if both of them are missing three, four games, that's the only reason I'm ruling them out.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm not calling anyone. I'm trying to look.
West Ham haven't got an easy run in either.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm sure, we'll be back here next Sunday and we'll be back the Sunday after and the Sunday after that. I mean, if you look 3 weeks down the line and we're talking.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, because if you look 3 weeks down the line and we're sitting here and we're talking about 7 from 9, you know, and you're saying to yourself, 2 points off fourth, and now we're in the fourth position, you know.
I'm 100% with Keith when he says if we're in top four after our next two games, then we won't come out of it. But that's my problem. I don't think we're going to be in the top four after our next two games.
We will be, because if we win our games and we're not in the top four, Chelsea play West Ham the weekend. So one of them is the drop points.
You see, what you want there is you want Chelsea or West Ham. You probably want, if with West Ham being ahead of Chelsea, you're probably going, well, if someone's going to win, let it be West Ham.
No, because Chelsea will win more games in the remainder of the season than West Ham. So you want that,
I think a lot depends on Chelsea's situation.
You want
the
two league to drop rather than keep letting one go.
It's definitely Chelsea's got the squad to rotate, Gav. You keep saying about the Champions League. Honestly, he's proved it that he can rotate, and he's done very well since he's coming with the rotation side. It's West Ham that can't rotate. For example, Antonio out, Declan Rice out. Point. Today, Cresswell out. Who else went out? Someone else went off injured.
Chelsea's last four. Oh, City, Leicester, Villa away.
Yeah.
All right, you're getting me excited now. All right, Sean. I'll change it. Listen, we lost next week.
It's brilliant. But Gavin, they both hit the nail on the head. This is going to be something where you're taking stock literally every week. Yeah. It's going to be a roller coaster.
Because if Gris is allowed to take stock every week.
It completely compounds our inability to beat the shite at home, because we would have been laughing had we had another 3 points against Fulham, Burnley. That had been 3 points, and you could have even got a fucking draw at Brighton, and we would have been 7 points better off now and laughing our arses off.
That team selection against Fulham at home.
Yeah, it puts us in the top four as it stands. But look, it's an interesting one. People want to talk about Konate, the injuries and stuff like that. Grizz has just said to me in private there that it's on 160 odd likes. If you don't get to 200, he's not talking about Konate. Simple as that. And I go with him. So if someone can tell me when we get to 200 likes, we'll talk about Konate.
And Madrid, I have got an update on Konate, so get to 200 likes quick time. We've got about 15, 20 minutes to go.
We don't have 15, 20 minutes to go. We've about six. Kieran Thorn, Chelsea's last fixtures are Brighton, Fulham, West Ham, Man City, Arsenal, Leicester and Villa. That is an evil run in, as well as the Champions League. So there you go. And we leave it at that. Real Madrid are on the way on Wednesday. Just to let you know, Jamie's midweek fix show will be a match reaction on Wednesday night to that game. We will have a preview of it on Tuesday night, which hasn't been sorted yet, but it will be. The forum is back tomorrow. Andy Dicko Davo. Jesus, all the Andy's Dicko's Davos. And there's a special guest on. He's a guy that does Liverpool flags and banners. He's done something for Andy recently. And it's actually a really amazing story how he does it. So we thought we'd bring him on and talk to him about it. It's off the wall what this fella does.
Sensational, by the way.
It's unbelievable work.
Unreal work, this.
Like a farrier, you see, doing horse shows. Yeah. Like, it's a proper lost. It's a lost art when you can go on a website now and get anything printed on a flag. But this detail is immense. It's immense. Honestly.
And I'll get back to him now.
What's the word? Like a skill, like a real craft.
It is.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Tony L says, blackmailing for info. Have shame, Tony.
Have shame. Someone tell him about me.
You've completely missed the joke. Tony.
Shame as a member of Boyzone. He knows about fucking shame.
I had to highlight that.
No, you see, the thing is, Tony, this is a joke that is on running in the chat, and we just have a laugh with it, but no, we don't blackmail. Listen, if we wanted to blackmail people for info, we just charge them for doing this, but we never will. So you've just missed the joke there, Tony, and that's okay. What was I going to say to you? Yeah, this guy, we wouldn't, listen, we've all bought flags, we've all bought banners, but when Andy told us about this, we were just asking about it. He was sending pictures, sending updates, and then somebody said to Andy, who is this guy? He's basically a guy that does these flags, but he's one man that does it. One fella working it all on his own. Apparently the waiting list is months long. Not because, like, you know, he's...
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Because there's only one you, Vuse Alto is the vape as unique as you are. With Vuse by You, you can make your unique mix with any of 7 colors, 3 flavors, 3 nicotine levels, and infinite wrap designs. So how will you do you? Make Vuse Alto a vape that is yours, in store now. Discover more at Vuse.com. Vuse. Charge beyond. Vapor products. Underage sale prohibited. Website and offers restricted to age 21 and over tobacco consumers.
He's smelling himself, this fella. It's because... it's just one fella doing it, you know, and I'm looking at the stuff he does and I'm going, that'd take me a year to do that one flag for Andy. So we thought we'd bring him on, have a chat with him, not get to know his story. I think he's a teacher by profession, but he's going to be on with us tomorrow night, and with Andy and Davo and Dicko, they're going to be talking about, I know they're going to talk about Gary Neville and Carragher and that punditry. They're going to talk about the front three and the succession planning around that. Your man's going to be talking about his banners and stuff, and there's one other subject that I can't remember, but it will be in there, and all the details will be out tomorrow. But Real Madrid, lads. Shawnee, what way do we approach this as getting early goal? Or 1-0 up after 70 and take our chances, or just go for broke and see what happens. What way do we do this, Shawnee? Because I'm a bit torn on being a little bit cagey and just see how that game goes, or just go out and try blast them. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Don't think about it.
Okay. Just go
for it. Because I watched them yesterday. Assassins. Assassins all out of it. We're in trouble on Wednesday. Being honest. We're in big trouble on Wednesday.
Jesus, ooh. Shawnee. Talk about bringing down the fucking humor.
Gav, I'm just being honest with you. Oi, Kabak and Phillips, I'm telling you now, they look at them yesterday. I was watching that game going, Barca, I believe, battering these here. They laughed. They just picked them off. That's all they have to do. If Anfield was full, maybe. And if Alisson could save a fucking shot, maybe. But little or no hope for me. If this isn't a Barca job, by the way. Barca... well, brittle. This is the most pragmatic Madrid side in a long time, and I can't see it, honestly.
Okay, give us a prediction then, Shawnee.
1-1.
Okay. Mohammed says that Shawnee's a bundle of laughs tonight. he's just saying it as it is. If we all come out and agree with each other, should there be no point.
Yeah.
Keith, I'm going to leave the last word to Grizz on this because he's told us that we're not finishing in top four, so he could kill everyone's dreams here now in a few minutes.
Season over. Sunday night on the Fat Pack 4. Forget about it.
Someone turn off the light on the way out. Key day, do we just attack these and see what happens, or play it a bit cagey and give me a prediction as well?
I think we have to go at them to have any chance. I think we can't play a cagey against them because, and I know what Shawnee is saying, they look for you to go at them and they'll pick you off on the break, right? And we don't have the players to do it. We were extra bad in the first game against them. Like, we let the midfield do what they want. We let them pull down our blading shorts and just tickle our bums for 90 minutes, and they just played with us. We need to be more forceful in midfield on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday night? Yeah, we need to be more forceful in midfield on Wednesday. I agree. If there was a crowd there, I think we'd win. 2-0 isn't, you know... forget about, if you took this season away, 2-0 at Anfield with a crowd, you'd be all over that. You'd be licking your lips. But this season, it is what it is. I don't think we have it in us to be too cagey, but I don't think we're going to go gung-ho either. I think there has to be a middle ground. I think we have to, like I say, try and get on top of the midfield battle and try and get something up top. Try and get something at their defence.
My biggest worry, Gav, is like, they don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
These are the masters that keep in the ball. Like that midfield three, the keep ball all day. And if we're as sloppy as we have been, forget about it.
Yeah. We need to get into them. We need to put them under serious pressure and force them into playing the ball quickly. Look, if you see the two goals that they get against us, the forced two goals, it's Cruz has all the time in the world to just do what he wants. Do you know what I mean? It's embarrassing. It was embarrassing how much time they were giving a player like Toni Kroos to just pick holes in us. We can't let them do that. We have to get stuck into them to have any chance. And look, wait and see what happens.
Give us a prediction.
4-1 the Reds.
Good stuff, Keith. Good stuff. Okay. Stick that in your fucking pipe, Shiny. Grizz, we're not making the Champions League.
You're going to drop down for the blast after this game.
Whatever he's smoking. Grizz, you've just already told us that we're not making the Champions League via league positions. So what do you see happening on Wednesday night? What way do we approach it? And give me a prediction.
I think with the crowd there, it's a total different game, especially with the injuries they've got through the squad. And especially the fact that this will be their third game in the same amount of time as well. And yes, they're absolute masters in the midfield, but they're aging masters. And if we can set the tempo, if we can get the tempo, it's the onus is on us, as Shawnee says. If we can set the tempo like we have in games against Man City away, where our midfield was scaring the life out of them, I think we're going to hit them with something different. I don't think we're going to play you know, the usual lineups, tactics, etc. My biggest worry, apprehension is the form of Mane. If Sadio Mane was on fire, like I think Jota, Bobby and Mo will be, if Mane was on fire, I think we can turn this over. I really do. I don't think he's in any form to do anything like that. And that's the problem. I can see us scoring two, but I can also see them definitely scoring, and that's the problem. Can I see us scoring three against them? No. Four. So for that, will you need four? No, to take it extra time,
no,
three.
No, we fancy four, so let's go.
Oh, yeah,
four.
You do. Yeah, yeah, you're, but you're good like that, you know. That's why you're bottom of the predictions table.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But the fact is, but my opinion is that I think we're going to struggle to go through. I think we may win the game 2-1, but I don't think we'll go through.
Okay, Liverpool will win on penalties on Wednesday night, nice. Is my prediction, okay?
Hey, I've fucking try a Xanax then, if that's the case.
No, listen, I'm only messing. I don't know what way it's going to go. The crowd is a big thing.
Massive.
I think, I just don't know if we have the energy. I keep going back to it, but we need... I know what you're saying. We press high, press high, press high. They can probably try pick throws and stuff like that and get chances. But usually when our energy is on it, we don't let anybody pick at us. We just get after them all the time. But we certainly have a chance. But I think we need... Fourth goal is massive. Because if they score first, us getting three with them, absolutely sitting back and looking to hit us is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I'll put it to you this way. I'll take 1-0 on 85 to Liverpool. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah,
I think 1-0 on 85. Yeah, no, I'll take 1-0 on 85 and, you know, deal the cards.
Well, this is why I don't think we'll go gung-ho from the start.
You wobbling. Yeah. You say that 1-0 on 85.
Well, you see the amount of cans I'm gonna buy on Wednesday just to get through it. But listen, we'll see how it goes, and that's all we can do. Last thing before we go, well, not the last thing, I have a couple of bits to update you on. But Konate, he was definitely signing for Liverpool, then he definitely wasn't signing for Liverpool. Then the release clause is actually lower than we thought it was, and it's all going on. So, Grizz, I'm just gonna go to you on this one. Konate. Loads of different stories. Does the injury worry you? It was the question early on in this podcast.
Very quickly, because I know we're running out of time. The reason why we didn't sign Konate last January was because we were worried about his injury situation. We actually inquired about him last January. The situation now is there was a bit of a mix-up in information communication and people saying, oh, he's had his medical, first part of his medical. No such thing. What it is we've asked for some medical papers. That's what I was told. Extra information on his history, et cetera, et cetera. So we're still exploring that. I personally still expect us to sign him. But, you know, it's just we're just playing our usual game about injuries. So try to bring the price down and we'll get him. So, yeah, that's the situation with Konate.
Yeah, it's a strange one because, like, there were so many journalists writing about, you know, I think that on international duty, he was meant to have part of a medical in the French camp and stuff like that. And a lot of them have put their neck on the line to say that Liverpool have been in contact and expect to sign Ibrahima Konate. So yeah. It's a strange one, but we'll see how it goes. This is going to rumble on. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a very interesting summer. Before we go, though, let me see. Discord. Get in there. There's over 200 people now in our Discord group. It's flying every day with regards to Liverpool chat, transfer chat, articles going up on our website, UFC, random stuff. It's really good. It's an alternative to Twitter, I suppose. You go in there, you join. You just like-minded Liverpool fans, and if you're not a Liverpool fan, you want to come in, absolutely come in. Just anyone that is a dickhead gets thrown back out. But look, you're well entitled to your opinion and go in there and do it. The website is flying at the moment as well, lfcdt.com. There's loads of articles going up on that as well. So, go and have a look at that. And as I said, go and look at it. If you like it, great. If there's anything you'd like to see added, unbelievable, go and do it. Tell us and we will try our best to do that as well. The PlayStation 5, we're giving away a 10,000 subs. We're currently just over 9,000. So if you know anyone that wants to subscribe, pass it on. And look, when it gets to 10,000, we will find a way to do a draw and have a little bit of fun with it and give away a PlayStation with FIFA 21 as well. Listen, it's been another great show and the support your show was brilliant. What I would say to you is hit the like button, hit the share button, subscribe if you haven't done already. All we ask from you is that when you come on here is to hit a like button, hit a share button. Help us out. That's all we're asking for from people. Go on the Discord. Give us your thoughts. We're big boys. We can take it. If you don't like parts of the website, if you want to get onto Discord and have a go about a show or something was said, we're big boys. We can take it. Go and do that. The more interaction, the better, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. We like it because it helps us improve. So that's about it. It's been a really good Sunday night. The Masters is heating up. Matsuyama went in the water. His caddy should be absolutely sacked after this. Just to let you know. I've checked with Grizz's dad. He does own that house, not Grizz. And, Grizz is on third party fire and theft on the car with regards to insurance. Grizz, anything else before we go?
No, pal. You've shamed me enough. Thanks.
Okay. Can I throw something at you? And you like this. If Liverpool make the top four, somebody suggested earlier that I should sit down and eat an Indian meal.
Do it. This is it. I'm up for that. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll eat one of your boring meals. How's that? And we'll eat it live on fucking show.
Boring meals.
Okay.
Like spice burger omelet.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of buttered bread.
Listen, guys, you guys don't know. This fella, right, we went to a game in Liverpool. I can't remember what game it was then. And I wanted to have lunch somewhere.
Norwich at home.
Or was it Norwich? Norwich at home.
Liverpool. And
honest to God, guys, I was suggesting some food places. And you know, you're out in Liverpool, you wanna go to a Nando's maybe, like not even posh, just Nando's is fine, right? KFC, anything. This prick took me to some fucking 1930s pub, right?
No, it wasn't.
And I remember the slaughterhouse
in Liverpool.
I can put you on mute, you know. I've got the power to, you know, as well.
Fenwick Street. Right.
And guys, I'll post a picture on my Twitter if anybody wants an update on what it looked like. He got me. He's like, take a seat, Grizz. I've been here before. You just take a seat and I'll get you a nice. And obviously, you know, I had to select something halal, right? And he goes, fuck's sake, that's the problem. Right, that's his first fucking bollocks, right? So then he gets me some egg, chips and beans, guys. And I'll just post a picture. And you make your own mind up. It was the worst place of plate of food I've ever not eaten.
Okay. Well, let me tell you this. You're a middle-aged man. I didn't order you anything. You ordered it. And the middle-aged. Second thing was, it's a really nice pub. It's called the Slaughterhouse, and the Guinness is really good in it, actually. So just to let you know. But yeah, so I'm up for it, Grizz. If we make top four, I'll eat an Indian meal.
The viewers can decide what I have to do if we reach top four. That's
no, listen, I'm letting you away with it because you're going on a bike at 10K.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you've also promised to shave down the beard and just have the moustache, haven't you?
Oh, that's a hard one, but okay.
Yeah.
No, that's not both of them at 10K. The bike's at 10K.
What, there's something else, though, you were going to shave?
I can't remember. So until someone remembers, I'm not doing that because that's a hard one. Maybe 15K.
Maybe people can choose what Indian meal I could have. Now, the only thing is, you can pick the hottest one and it'll just be like, I'll just go, I'm never eating that again.
I'll pick a sensible one.
I will enjoy. The viewers will pick.
But they don't know your taste buds like I do. So I'll pick you something that I know you're likely to attempt. No, because Keith, otherwise he's not even going to attempt it. What's the point? So I'm going to give him something he's going to attempt. All right, I'll decide. Don't worry. I'll sort you out.
Yogurt.
Yogurt.
Boy, what's on my yogurt?
See what I mean, Shoni? See what I mean?
Well, it'd be like throwing you up on a fucking bag of chips.
Absolutely not.
Well, I'm telling you. Courtney Neary says, don't knock the slaughterhouse. It's a fucking fantastic pub. And I don't know if Courtney drinks Guinness, but it's
free in, but it's a 10 at the leave.
Free egg and chips on your way out. But anyway, that's it. But now Grizz was given out because I'm at the shaming on tonight, but he's managed to get me an Indian meal if Liverpool make the top four. So I think that's fair. I think that's very, very, very fair. Anything else before we go, Shawnee?
I was only messing about Wednesday. We still have a chance of stuff. I'm getting absolutely torn apart in the chat there.
I thought you would be.
Enjoy it. It might happen. It might not. Who gives a bollocks? Just exactly. Enjoy it. Keith. Look, embrace the last year. We could do with the league a year out of Champions League. Yeah. Anyway, what do you reckon?
A little break. It's over, right?
Yeah, but imagine us having to do shows every week about the Europa. I'd be breaking my heart. Keith, anything else before we go?
No, I'd just like to say, as far as dares are fucking, what's it called? You know, Grizz is shaving his face off and going on the exercise bike. You're getting to eat an Indian. That's your bleeding. That's your punishment. I mean, as far as it goes, I think you're getting away lightly.
Grizz knows.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never had an Indian meal.
No, fair enough.
I learned the blade and tin whistle, and Grizz just sang a song and all for the blade and tag, and you're eating an Indian.
Jesus, God bless you, Gav.
Remember the 27, Dean? It's one of the best things I've ever seen when he done E17. He sang Stay Now. That was amazing.
Right. No, it's a team here. You boys are getting shafted, and Gav's playing punishment is he has to have a lovely bit of
a lovely bit of curry. This is mad.
When we hit 20K, I'll have to try some sort of lager in a can that I haven't tried before. God love me.
Indian pale ale, Gav?
Oh yeah, sure, I'll go for that. I don't think I like them though. But anyway, we're out of here. Matsuyama 12 under, Shoffley 10 under.
Oh, shut up.
Three holes.
If it's not war zone, it's golf.
Three holes to go, and then it's off to Verdansk.
Ravi Bopardo went 26 from 8 at the crease today, Chris.
That's what I want to know.
With crease.
Three holes to go in the Masters, two shots in it, and then it's all off to Verdansk. Over and out.
Worried about mom or dad falling? The Symphony Medical Alert System from CVS Health helps make their home safer, even if you can't be there. Symphony works with voice activation or a care button they can opt to wear, along with smart sensors for coverage around the home. With 24/7 emergency response and an app to tie it all together, you can monitor your loved one's well-being for enhanced peace of mind. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more about Symphony at cvs.com/symphony or find it at your nearest CVS Health Hub.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's, actually Geico.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Sports Social Podcast Network.